Chapter 11. Ivy seemed reluctant to leave off petting Mister, but she and Kincaid left without further conversation. I shut the door after them and leaned on it, listening with my eyes closed until they'd gone. I didn't feel as tired as I should have, probably because I had a wealth of experience that suggested I would get a lot more worn out before I got a real chance to rest. Mister rubbed up against my legs until I leaned down to pet him, after which he promptly walked over to his food bowl, ignoring me altogether. I grabbed a Coke from the icebox while he ate, absently pouring a bit onto a saucer and leaving it on the floor by Mister. By the time I'd finished it, I'd made up my mind about what I had to do next. Make phone calls. I called the number Vincent had left for me first. I expected to reach an answering service, but to my surprise, Vincent's voice, tense and anxious, said, "Yes?"
"It's Harry Dresden," I said. "I wanted to check in with you."
"Ah, yes, just a moment," Vincent said. I heard him say something, caught a bit of conversation in the background, and then heard him walking and a door shut behind him. "The police," he said. "I've been working with them throughout the evening."
"Any luck?" I asked.
"God only knows," Vincent said.
"But from my perspective, it seems the only thing accomplished is deciding which department is going to handle the investigation."
"Homicide?" I guessed.
Vincent's tired voice became dry.
"Yes, though the mind boggles at the chain of logic that led to it."
"Election year. City management is politicking," I said. "But once you start dealing with the actual police personnel, you should be all right. There are good people in every department."
"One hopes. Have you found anything?"
"I've got a lead. I don't know how good. The thieves might be on a small craft in the harbor. I'm heading down there presently."
"Very well," Vincent said.
"If the lead is good, do you want me to call CPD?
"I'd rather you contacted me first," Vincent said. "I am still uncertain of how much trust to place in the local police. I cannot help but think it must have been the reason the thieves fled here, that they possessed some contact or advantage with the local authorities. I'd like as much time as possible to decide whom to trust."
I frowned and thought about Marcone's flunkies taking a shot at me. Chicago PD had an unfair reputation for corruption, thanks in part to the widespread mob activity during Prohibition. It was inaccurate, but people were people, and people aren't immune to being bought. Marcone had attained police-only information with disturbing speed before.
"Might be smart. I'll check it out and let you know. Shouldn't be more than an hour or two."
"Very good. Thank you, Mr. Dresden. Is there anything else?"
"Yeah," I said. "I should have thought of this last night. Do you have any pieces of the shroud?"
"Pieces?" Vincent asked.
"Scraps or threads. I know that many samples were analyzed back in the 70s. Do you have access to any of those pieces?"
"Very possibly. Why?"
I had to remind myself that Vincent seemed to be largely a non-believer in the supernatural, so I couldn't come out and say that I wanted to use thaumaturgy to track down the shroud. "To confirm identification when I find it, I don't want to get foxed with a decoy."
"Of course, I'll make a call," Vincent said. "Get a sample FedExed here. Thank you, Mr. Dresden."
I said goodbye, hung up, and stared at the phone for a minute. Then I took a deep breath and dialed Michael's number. Even though the sky was barely light with morning, the phone rang only once before a woman's voice said,
"Hello?"
This was my nightmare.
"Oh, hello, Charity. It's Harry Dresden."
"Hi," the voice said brightly. "This isn't Charity, though." So maybe it wasn't my nightmare. It was my nightmare's oldest daughter.
"Molly?"
I asked.
"Wow, you sound all grown up now."
She laughed.
"Yeah, the breast fairy came to visit and everything. Did you want to talk to my mom?"
Some might find it significant that it took me a second to realize she wasn't being literal about the fairy. Sometimes I hate my life.
"Well, is your dad around?"
"So you don't want to talk to Mom? Check," she said.
"He's working on the addition. Let me get him."
She set the phone down and I heard footsteps walking away. In the background, I could hear recorded children's voices singing, the rattle of plates and forks, and people talking.
Then there was a rustling sound and a thump as the handset on the other end must have fallen to the floor. Then I heard the sound of heavy, squishy breathing.
Harry, sighed another voice from what must have been the same room.
She sounded much like Molly, but less cheerful.
No, no, honey, don't play with the phone. Give that to me, please.
The phone rattled some more. The woman said,
thank you, sweetie.
And then she picked up the phone and said, hello, anyone there? For a second, I was tempted to remain silent or possibly try to imitate a recording of the operator, but I steeled myself against that. I didn't want to let myself get rattled. I was pretty sure that Charity could smell fear, even over the phone. It could trigger an attack.